heading towards the end of our afternoon, in about 20 minutes or so. Might be a useful exercise just to individually try and summarize what one is taking away from today, which might be helpful. We've covered quite a broad range of issues, questions. So somewhere among them, there may be something worth taking home with one. I was thinking about the theme. That was then. This is now. And I was thinking, well, it's only half the picture. And the second part came to me just now. Here today, gone tomorrow. Just to emphasize the transient nature of all phenomena, but also to recognize the constant that is always present in all that manifestation of phenomena. And that's really, hopefully, where we're all headed. It seems strange to say headed, it's just a turn of phrase, really, because headed means we're actually there already. So, where is one heading to? So, that sort of short circuits our thinking a little bit, which is useful to do, short circuit the thinking, and just realize that some things cannot be encapsulated or captured in words. But we can intuit the sense or what the meaning might be. I think not passing judgment on people is an important one. We very rarely know what motivates people to do what they do. We're very easy at passing judgment and condemning people for an action which appears insensitive, but we don't know the causes or the reasons behind it. So it's always good to have an open mind and not pass categorical executionary judgments on individuals. We don't know their story. We don't know where they've come from, what they've experienced. So it's a form of conceit or arrogance to condemn people who appear to be behaving in an ignorant way and maybe actually are acting in an ignorant way, but in the context of their lives, it might make complete sense. So what we can be grateful for also, of course, is grateful towards a teaching which encourages this type of understanding, encourages a sort of compassionate understanding of other people, because it only contributes to greater harmony, less conflict. There's too much conflict in the world, that's for sure. If there are any conflicts that need resolving, again, we look inwards, because that's where the conflicts have to be resolved. That helps us deal with the external conflicts that we might find ourselves in. And then this whole path becomes a path of transformative practice. Just by doing the right thing to the best of our ability in the right moment is how we purify the mind, purify the heart, and contribute what is good to the world. We probably have a few announcements to listen to at the end of the session. I'd like us to chant one of the chants. Not quite sure which one, then maybe someone may have a favorite they'd like. The Metta Sutta. Okay, so we could chant that in a second. Before we do the closing chant and the Metta Sutta, is there anything that feels that needs to be said that hasn't been said? Either from those listening on screen or here? Yes?
Controversial.
Controversial. We don't want controversy.
I like Clarence to be here.
You like what?
Clarence to be here.
Clarence.
Clarence is the angel in the film by Frank Capra.
Oh, I see.
Life is Beautiful.
Oh,
Or
right.
something like
Okay.
that. Because he showed the man who wanted to kill himself because he was in despair.
Jump off the bridge. He was wanted to jump off the bridge. Is that the one?
Exactly. He
Yes.
showed him all the good things that he's done in his life, including a little child who was drowning. And I've been thinking of that because, okay, you said many times, and this is good, you said life is messy, and Buddhism has a bit of a reputation of always happening, of on negative stuff. There is also then the transformation and the enlightenment and all that. But there is, I mean, I think we should talk a bit more about also the beautiful things of life, not okay. about messiness and the suffering and dukkha and the wars and the Israel and Palestine and Putin and whatever. No, we should really even talk about the people who did fantastic things for humanity and how the wonderful things that humanity has also done and is doing.
Absolutely.
But it is not controversy.
Thank you. Andrew.
Yes, thanks, Nick. One last point. Sorry to ask another question, but you know, years ago when I practiced this Vipassana, I was doing a lot of it, you know, 10-day courses and things as a young lad with time on my hands and over a short period. And I felt, you know, one fear of mine was that I was getting very locked inside myself. You know, everything had its concomitant sensation on the body. And I was observing the sensations all the time, getting very sensitive. And I don't know. What I'm trying to say is how to avoid that. I really liked what you said earlier. It's like with every thought, there's a sensation on the body there somewhere, you know. So you can choose to skillfully watch those sensations, you know, let the thoughts pass on. But I think sometimes for me, there was almost a risk of getting locked in to myself, you know. And I just wonder how you can if you've experience of kind of skillfully dodging that, navigating that, because maybe I was just practicing this kind of very, streamlined version of Buddhism, of Asen Goenka, without getting sectarian. What I'm trying to say is how one, there's more to it than just the field of Vedana, you know, the field of sensation.
Of course.
And how not to get too locked in. Or maybe that's just all thinking that I'm doing. So I'll just present that for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, practice, individual practice, can be very isolating, which is why I think it's really important to meet and talk and connect with other people, especially if the people are in the same field of interest. So connection with other people is essential. It's very interesting how Ajahn Chah ran his monasteries. He was very much about people rubbing up against each other. Even though there was a strict form of conduct, it meant that people's characters were challenged, their likes and dislikes were challenged. Very, very fruitful work. And in that sense, as lay people, we have plenty of opportunity for egos, personalities clashing, and the challenge is how to deal with it. But what you're describing can happen to individuals. They get so caught up in it that they lose their connection with the world of experience. They're experiencing their sensations, but it's out of context. So I'd suggest you meet some friends and do some devotional practice, some chanting, like we're going to be doing now in a minute. It's very uplifting, very connecting. And if you can make it here in person, that would be brilliant. It'd be nice to meet you here in person. You can join in a collective process of practice. First page 37. This is a beautiful chant. I confess to chanting this every day, just to remind myself of the qualities that we need to cultivate and develop and reaffirm them so they become really embedded in one's memory, consciousness, and one's daily life. Now let us chant the Buddha's words on loving kindness. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not loud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease.
Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another, nor despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
So we'll just do the closing homage on page 16 of the chanting book.
Araham Samma Sambuddho Bhagava, the Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, Buddham Bhagavan Tamma Vivademi. I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one. Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo, the teaching so completely explained by him, Dhammam Namasami, I bow to the Dhamma. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho, the blessed one's disciples who have practiced well, Sangam Namami, I bow to the Sangha.